Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, all you Hepcats out there in listener land, it's that time again. It's time for the Indie Circuit. Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. My name's Mao, and this is the show here to bring you all kinds of crazy music you've never heard before in your life. And now you'll be like, oh my god, I gotta go find that stuff. Because you do. Because you love it. This is show 143, if you can imagine that. That's right. Radio St. Pete management has not figured out where my headquarters are located to stop me from my transmissions. Oh yeah, snap into a Slim Jim. Don't do that. They're bad for your health. But I'll tell you what isn't bad for your health. This music. Listen, won't you? Thank you.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
City nights, all the pigs and kids are howling for a fight. Nobody knows just what the hell is going on, but a million motherfuckers can't be wrong. It's a dead end society with nothing new to offer me. You're a dead end society, always checking in with the next best thing. Let's change it around, cause who knows why you can't see. Dead society. Well, all your television babies and educated fools burning downtowns and shooting up schools. The news try to explain it and your parents just cry. You're living in a haze till the day that you die. The only free thinking is left to the few. If they like it, you like it, that ain't nothing new. The life you're living now, it's a free package lie, and everybody's wondering, but no one knows why. It's a dead society with nothing new to offer me. You're a dead society, always checking in with the next best thing. Let's change it around, cause who knows why you can't see. Dead society. Dead society. So come on down to the land of the free. They got racism riots, violence on TV. Dirty politicians, this is moving away. People need to wake up and realize that they live in a dead society with nothing new to offer me. Society, always checking in with the next best thing. Let's change it around, cause who knows why you can't see. Dead society.
are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
All right, that was the Boss Mustangs from, what did I play? I played Society, Electric Last Minute, Holly and Your. I don't think that's right, but that's what it says in my computer, so it must be right, because computers don't lie. Oh, wait, they do all the time. Hey, I don't know if you remember last week, or the last couple weeks, I was pretty much saying, oh my God, you know, I'm going to this awesome event. It's called Free Play Florida 2016. Well, I'm back. And good news for you, I got a whole bunch of really awesome interviews. This week, I'm going to play the one from Gary Stern. Now, part of Free Play, if you don't know, if you haven't listened to the shows leading up to this week, get on the trolley, all you out there. You know, I've been talking about it. It's like, it was like a 3-day event, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and, it was really awesome. It was over in Orlando. They set up the whole floor of this, or a whole gigantic ballroom, I guess you'd say, of the Doubletree, hotel over there. And it was just wall to wall, like pinball machines, old arcade games. There was even a section dedicated to all these really obscure, odd home console systems. Everything was there. But also along with that, there was lots of different panels where, you know, people were, Billy Mitchell was there. He holds a whole bunch of records, and he's very notable for being the villain from King of Kong. He's actually kind of a nice guy. When I interviewed him, and I don't know. I wanted to not like him, but I couldn't because he was a pretty cool guy. And all these different things. So there was like movies premieres that we got to see. There's 8-Bit Heroes was a movie I got to see, and it was an interesting tale. And then one of the biggest, you know, most impressive things was Gary Stern was there. And if you don't know, Gary Stern owns Stern Pinball. They're the only ones left that are making pinball machines. Now, that's a little misleading. There are other companies that come and go or try to. But in the heyday of pinball, the 70s, 80s, 90s, there was Bally's and Gottlieb and Williams and Stern. You know, and he's the only one left. So he gave this long panel where he's just kind of just off the cuff talking about stuff. And talking a lot about pinball and talking more about being like how the responsibility is to get millennials to play, to get pinball back on the streets, back into places where it's accessible. Because it went away, but it is kind of making a resurgence, especially in like barcades and stuff like that. So it was a really cool panel discussion where he's just talking to people and you'd ask questions and stuff. But yours truly, being, you know, the indie circuit, I have all that clout from Radio St. Pete, I had a media pass, so I got to pull him aside and give him, and get a little interview with him. So this is, I'm going to drop this in now, this is raw, so there, you're going to hear some background noises, and you're going to hear some, ums and errs that I probably should have cut out, but I will tell you, Gary Stern's very funny, the way he talks, he kind of, like there's a lot of like ums and ers and stuff like that, but you can tell he talks all the time. He's a salesman. He sells pinball. He sells the sport, but he's a funny guy. I had a lot of fun listening to him talk, and I was really, honestly, I was honored that, to interview him. It's pretty cool, you know, and I played a lot of Stern pinball machines in my life. I own one. I own the Austin Powers, got it right out of the crate from Stern, and I played one that I'm probably saving towards getting right out of the crate because I was like crazy about it. But I'm going to drop this in. Here's a Gary Stern interview, and then I'll probably, if there's any time left, it's only a 5-minute interview, so I'll probably drop some music in afterwards. But so here is the one and only Gary Stern from Stern Pinball.
Hello.
Hello.
Cool. So, all right, this is, I'm talking with Gary Stern. This is from Free Play Florida.
All you out there in Radio St. Pete listener land, this is a rare glimpse into insanity and genius all wrapped up into one. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you for that incredible, incredible discussion group, panel group you gave. I'm trying to like formulate questions because you answered so much.
Well, we have a lot to talk about because we make a lot of games. We're very committed to pinball, and we are very committed to being an American manufacturer. So we have 110,000 square foot factory that we're making pinball machines. Three or four titles a year in two or three different models of each of those. So we're making a lot of pinball machines.
See, when was the? Is this a new factory or
how? This factory we moved into May a year and a half ago. The company's 30 years old, but we were in it moved. We need more spaces, so we moved.
That's
in
a
there.
Good problem to have.
Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. Business is good, and part of it is because we've done so much to promote pinball. And to expose it, and as we say here, everything pinball.
Yeah, definitely. Well, during your meeting, one of the most poignant things that really jumped out of my mind was you were talking about risk. The factor of risk, which is kind of lost in a lot of the online forums and arguments over nothingness. You know, would you talk about that, the three magic bullets here? Because that is so powerful in a business world, you know.
Yeah, we're unique. It's great that other people are trying to make pinball, and that just shows the strength, the interest, the growth of the interest in pinball. And I have to say that we've been, our work has done most of even past the collector community, but to the operating community, people put games in locations, and to what we call the rec room buyer. We make three new, what we call cornerstone titles a year, main titles that have a pro, premium, and limited edition version. These are games that will. They have sort of a half bell curve in life. In other words, they start high and they have a long tail. If one of those three games is not a good game, you know, we have three bullets a year, three silver bullets, and if one's a blank,
tighten the
then a lot of people go home and don't get to work and don't get to get, so it is very important that we, that we study what we're doing and that we, we do, a good job of picking games and themes and making those games.
So this isn't just a flippant, this is cool this week because Angry Birds might be gone and then all of a sudden employed. Please go home.
We have in our building any day probably 250 people. Plus, we provide to the extended community part or all of their livelihood, the work that they do for us. But probably another 3,000-4,000 people are getting part or all of their livelihood because they're supplying parts to us. We're a manufacturer. We make things. There's three or four man days of labor in every pinball machine, or 30-40 hours and 25-35 hours in every pinball machine of labor. So it's real manufacturing.
Yeah. Has technology, I know obviously everything's influenced by technology, computers, blah blah blah. Has that made the design process easier or quicker or better?
Yes, no. The technology.
That's my favorite answer. Yes, no.
the technology for mechanical design, for doing software, and so forth, has made things much easier. The technology that exists that makes one want to do more, in the game, makes things harder. We have a new bus system that was a lot of work. Electronic system. We will have. A cloud connection one day. We will have this. There's just so much more to do with technology. So there's technology that is tools for design that makes things easier. There's opportunity in technology that requires a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, this is just a little bit more of a personal question. You've done, for years and years, Stern has given us a million years worth of awesomeness. What was your favorite game? Do you have a favorite game?
Yeah. Before I left to come here, I went out in the factory, and I saw that we were building Ghostbusters. So that's my favorite game. Now, if you ask me next month, and I go out in the factory and I see we're making Batman, that'll be my favorite game.
Yours is the next one out the door is your favorite game?
We wouldn't make it if I didn't like it, and I'm a salesman. So there you go.
See, perfect answer. Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. Is there anything you want to tell my audience before you go?
Keep flipping, play pinball, find it on location, and have a good time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Gary, this has been incredible. Thank you.
You thought you could really travel through time, huh?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah. You're the smartest guy in the world. You're pretty dumb sometimes.
To do the binds.
Ow! He's all new for 72 with gleaming fangs just for you. Dracula AD 1972 with a kiss that will leave you screaming and not for more. Then if you want the highest pitch of terror you can reach, it's crescendo. The lovers of the occult, Dracula AD 1972. The lovers of the macabre, crescendo. Both from Warner Brothers, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
It took 500 bullets to do it and 18 sharpshooters. But early this morning, the most notorious family
Mother was the mastermind, Kate Barker. The FBI called her the most vicious criminal mind in American history. Kate mapped out the bank jobs, plotted the kidnappings, and like each of her sons, Mother was a murderer. Arthur was a lady killer, but the notches on his Tommy gun showed that he had a few men to his credit, too. Lloyd was a simple country boy, but there was nothing he wouldn't do with a pack of matches and some gasoline. Herman was a sensitive type. Killing someone made him nervous, but after a crime, Ma had a special way of soothing his nerves. Freddie was a strange one, with even stranger playmates. American International Pictures brings the Barker family story to the screen. We call it Bloody Mama. It stars Shelley Winters. Don't miss Bloody Mama. She wouldn't have missed you. Rated R.
Please give me $1 million and the fridge with a padlock. And, oh yeah, huge pectoral muscles.
All right, wasn't that awesome? I have a couple other really great interviews that I'm going to have to do a little bit more editing. I had an interview with Billy Mitchell, and then I had a really awesome interview with artist Dirty Donnie. It was really kind of surreal. I'm sorry. Also, that was 8-Bit Weapon with Fallout in the Wasteland. Yes, Fallout in the Wasteland. 8-Bit Weapon. You know, the interview with Dirty Donnie, he's one of my favorite artists. I have a lot of his stuff, like posters and stickers and stuff like that. He's you probably have seen his artwork. He's really cutting edge. He's one of the best guys out there doing art right now. You know, him and Coop, and there's a bunch of other ones that are really kind of just cool, you know. And I was really awkward. I asked if I could. I knew he was going to be there, and I was like, oh my god, that's so awesome, you know. And I asked him for an interview via email and said, if you don't mind, can I interview you a little bit? I was a little bit sheepish, and he wrote back, sure, no problem. So then I caught up with him at the show, and he was like, hey, let's just go grab a beer. So he literally closed his table down where he was selling stuff, and I was like, I don't want to cost you money. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. And we went and like literally just sat there and had some beers, and I recorded like a 45-minute interview, and then also just. And then after that, we sat and talked for another hour, I bet. Maybe not an hour, but it was a long time. Coolest guy I've ever met, you know, and humble and down to earth, you know. And he was telling these stories about, you know, Metallica and stuff like that, because he that's where he got his break, was like drawing for Metallica. Like, he lived in Ottawa, and then one of the record covers he did, Kirk Hammett, yeah, I think that's his last name. I might be butchering that a little bit. Kirk, the guitar player from Metallica, was like, oh my god, I love your artwork, you gotta come down and do murals. So he came down, he brought him down to do murals in his house, and then he ended up doing, like, he made the artwork for the Metallica Stern pinball machine that's out, and just incredible story, and just like how it happened, and how he's became who he is, you know. It was such a cool story, and also lots of fun, silly stuff. So I'm going to be cutting that up and using that from here and there, you know. So there's a lot of content with Dirty Donnie that I'll be dropping in from time to time. So all right, well, enough of my yammering. Let's play some more music, shall we? We shall, right now.
Get them, they're really shooting at us.
Why?
Easy, boy. They were really shooting at us. We'd be dead by now.
We'll be right back.
could be greased lightning.
Get yourself ready for a mean double bill. If coffee don't get you, JD will. Coffee and JD's Revenge. The baddest pair of heavyweights to ever hit the screen. With a 1-2 punch like you've never seen. Coffee, she's sweet, black, and hot. Mess with her and you're playing with fire. JD's Revenge, where a dead man's soul comes back from the grave to seek out his killer and the vengeance he craves. Coffee'll cream ya, JD'll scream ya, so take a taste of double trouble. See Coffee and JD's Revenge, doing it together to do it to you. Pam Grier, Clinton Turman, and Lou Gossett Jr. in Coffee and JD's Revenge. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Shut up, monkey! I got company, dude!
All right. Could be greased lightning. Nope. Oh, wait. Oh, yes. Who was that? That was Red Morris from the CD Lady Rose. I played Golden Angel, Independence, and then, of course, part of Lady Rose. Oh, wasn't that nice? Good music. Really like that guy and his tunes. So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else. So, you know, I saw one of the Bucks, Mike Evans, knelt down instead of protesting inequality. That's now he knelt down for the Trump presidency. And the NFL didn't show it. I noticed, kind of funny, their ratings have been dropping, and then they stopped showing all the people kneeling down for the Star Spangled Banner in the beginning. They're still doing it. They're just not showing it or highlighting it anymore. Because I think the NFL sent out something saying, hey, you better stop showing that or you're going to be in some trouble. And I mean like underneath the new stadium in Las Vegas trouble. Ask Hoffa. So, yes, now that's they're trying to combat that. And, of course, everyone is all up in arms. Riots everywhere for the new president. I was shocked and saddened, disheartened a little bit. But everyone has their own opinion. And they're all worthless. So, who cares? I will say a couple things I am very happy for is one, for the next 4/8 years, however long this hilarity goes on, writing comedy will be very easy. I know every stand-up comedian and sketch comedy writer was like, oh my God, thank God, yes, it's back. An easy to make fun of president. This is going to be These jokes are going to write themselves for this clown. And then the other thing was, for the longest time I held the presidency in such reverence. Now I can say I know I'm smarter than one of the U.S. presidents. And half the listeners of Radio St. Pete just clicked off in a rage. And they're going to go fire off a email. I don't read emails, so don't bother. All right, one last music break before I go. What should we play? Something uplifting, I'm thinking. Yeah? Yeah.
Wise guys would pull up and Tootie would toss me their keys and let me park their Cadillacs. I mean, here I am, this little kid, I can't even see over the steering wheel, and I'm parking Cadillacs.
Dimple, come by, Dimple, look at
That was my girls, Sushi Mami Ray. I played Mohawk and Namello. Make sure you check them out on Facebook. And make sure you check out all the bands I played on Facebook, because they're all there. Everyone's there except me. I made a new conscious effort to not be there anymore. And my life is more complete. Anyway, that's it for this week. I wanted to say, if you did dig the show, make sure you also check out Asian Cult Cinema. That's a show me and my friend Dr. Morbius do here on Radio St. Pete. Talk about all kinds of crazy Asian cinema. Look in the archive tab. And then also you can go to abunchofdorks.com. There you're going to find all kinds of podcasts to fill all kinds of your cube farm time. Or your commute. Or other. So that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. My name's Mal. This has been the Radio St. Pete exclusive indie circuit. I will be back next week with probably some more awesome interview action and, more cool indie songs. See you next week, everyone.